hey, over the next couple weeks, these will be my least popular, but maybe most helpful sermons I've ever preached. In fact, y'all know what Spotify, ever heard of Spotify? Look, I don't do apps and all that. I had a flip phone until recently, but my family told me about something called Spotify. So Spotify is a program where you tell Spotify the songs you like, and it'll play all the songs and the bands you like. But it will not confront you with the bands or the songs that you don't like. Some of y'all have a Spotify Bible. I want to be confronted with Bible verses I like about loving each other, God's going to take care of you, God loves you, all that stuff. But I don't want to be confronted with Bible verses I don't like. Well, this ain't a Spotify church, and I'm not a Spotify preacher. I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God, okay? And over the next couple weeks, I'll be talking to you about respecting and submitting to authority. And you're not going to like it. And yet, this might be something that triggers something in your spiritual life. You know, Darla and I moved into a house a couple years ago, 120-year-old house. So we're trying to get the lay of the land and figure the house out. And there was an attic fan I couldn't get running. And I couldn't figure out why that thing would not run. And I looked at the wiring, I looked at this, I looked at that. Couldn't get the thing to run. And then one day I'm wandering around the house and I go to this little out-of-the-way place and I saw this little small switch that I'd never seen before. And when I flipped that switch on, the fan ran. I had been trying to deal with the big stuff to get that running, but it all boiled down to a small little out-of-the-way switch. Now, here's what I'm saying. Some of you have the Bible thing down right. You got the prayer thing down, church attendance down, tithing down, but something's missing. This issue of learning to submit to authority, that might be the switch that God flips, and you might see God do some things in your life if you can get this thing down right. Part of this is last days living. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, in the last days, y'all think we might be living in the last days? Lawlessness will abound. That word lawlessness in Greek is anomia. Alpha privative means no, nomos means law. Literally, lawlessness means I don't have to follow the rules. I don't have to do what you tell me to do. Jesus says in the last days, it's going to be like that. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:1-8, in the last days, people will rebel against their parents, rebel against authorities. We are living in those last days. Now, turn, if you would, to 1 Peter, because in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3, here's what Peter's dealing with. He's writing to Christians living in Rome. Nobody likes the Christians. Part of Rome thinks that the Christians are just a sect of Judaism. They hate the Jews, so the Christians are getting slammed as being Jewish, and they're experiencing anti-Semitism. The Jews, on the other hand, can't stand the Christians. And so the Christians are getting slammed by the Jews. Society is calling Christians atheists because they won't worship the Greco-Roman gods. They are thought to be anarchists because they won't submit to the King Caesar. They only submit to this king named Jesus. They're called cannibals because they have this weird thing they call the Lord's Supper where they eat a man's flesh and drink his blood. They are called incestuous because they call each other brothers and sisters and yet they're married to each other. So the Apostle Peter says, we're going to prove our enemies wrong. We're going to prove to them we're actually not bad people. And we're going to do that in two ways. Peter says, number one, by the way we live our lives, we're going to put our enemies to shame. They're going to be like, we didn't really like those Christians, but they're actually really good people. Peter says, number one, by the way we live our lives, we'll close the mouth of our enemies. Second way, 1 Peter 3:15 is, we're always going to be ready to give an answer. When our enemies, when our detractors lie about us, we are going to be able to say, no, here's what we believe as followers of Jesus. We're not doing a good job of that, incidentally, in this culture. 2 weeks ago, Christian singer Brandon Lake was interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine. And the reporter says to Brandon Lake, well, I'm a Christian and I'm a Buddhist. I follow Christ and I follow Buddha. Mr. Lake, what do you say about that? And Brandon Lake did the typical thing, talked about Pharisees, you know. Liberals love it when Christians throw other Christians under the bus. People like us who have convictions, we're Pharisees. So you got to do that because liberals like it when Christians do that to each other. And then he said, I just don't know. I just hope Jesus can have a conversation with everybody. Would to God there'd be one Christian leader that would say something like this. No, if you're going to follow Buddha, follow Buddha. If you're going to follow Jesus, follow Jesus. But he is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Just one Christian leader say that. Because you know they're going to ask you the question or a variant thereof. But Peter says, in a society that's talking bad about us, number one, by the way we live our lives, we're going to prove them wrong. And number two, we're always going to be ready to have an answer when people confront us with things like this. And so in this section of 1 Peter, he's talking about how we live our lives. And in 1 Peter 2:13, he says, we're going to live differently than this culture. We're going to prove them wrong. We are not anarchists. We actually submit to leadership. 1 Peter 2:13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance, that is, every institution of man for the Lord's sake, church. And then Peter gets specific. He says, when I say submit to institutions, to organizations, to people, I mean the government, we'll talk about that next week, your boss at work, we'll talk about that next week as well, and then in the home. Ladies, submitting to your husbands. We'll be doing that on Mother's Day. It's going to be a great Mother's Day sermon. I can't wait to preach that. I think I'm going to be out that day. I think Vic's going to be preaching that day. So, whatever. So look at this. He says, submit. Do you see that? That word is a military term. Just like there is organization in a military structure, Christians, you understand you are people under command. Submit yourself to how many ordinances? Every ordinance, every institution, which means if the police says pull over, you pull over. Which means if the parking team says park right there, you park right there. Which means it's graduation season. When they say, please hold all your applause until everybody has walked across the stage, you hold your applause till everybody's walked across the stage. Which means you teach your kids to be respectful of parents and teachers and authority. Recently, actor Dax Shepard was on a podcast talking about how his children, with actress Kristen Bell, his children have a reputation for being rude and disrespectful. Here's his response. Quote, you're dead right. They do talk back and they are not respectful. I want them to talk back. I want them to be disrespectful to people. I want them to always advocate for themselves whether I think they're right or wrong. Okay, thanks, Mr. Shepherd. The rest of us now have to deal with your annoying narcissistic kids because you're not teaching them to respect authority. See, the Bible's very clear. There is structure, there is authority in society, and whatever that authority is, we respect that if we're going to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he also says as well. He says, hey, do this. Look what he says. For the Lord's sake. Can I tell you, after having pastored many, many years, the hardest people to pastor, now what they say sounds spiritual, it's not spiritual. We had to deal with this a little while back. Here's the hardest people to pastor. Well, I don't follow the pastor. I don't follow anybody. I just follow Jesus. Have you ever met somebody like that before? When it says we do this for the Lord's sake, what Peter's saying is, hey, Jesus wants you to follow leadership. This idea of I don't follow people, I just follow Jesus, that sounds spiritual. That's actually antithetical to scripture. Bible makes it very clear. You're going to follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus wants you to submit to those who are in authority. So I only have one point, okay? This is a one-point sermon today. You're like, good, he ought to get through quickly today. Well, I only have one point, but it's going to take me 25 minutes to make the point, okay? So here you go. Here's the one point, and that's this. Rebellion attracts Satan. Respect attracts success. Rebellion attracts Satan. Respect attracts God-given success. So let's look at that first part. Rebellion attracts Satan. I want you to listen to me. You are never more like Satan than when you rebel against authority. Because in heaven, Satan was an angel under God's authority. And it's very interesting. Do a deep dive in this later on. Ezekiel 28:16, it says, Satan, Lucifer, in heaven, under God's authority, began to trade. We're not sure what that means. It could mean this, though. Satan goes up to this angel. God hasn't given you enough respect. You follow me in my kingdom, I'm going to elevate you. Hey, angel, God should have put you at a higher level. Why are you at this lower level? You follow me in my kingdom, I'm going to put you at a higher level. Satan does that mess in heaven. Satan rebels against God's authority, and God kicks Satan out of heaven, which is why I say again, you are never more like Satan than when you rebel against authority. I'm going to give you three examples. Okay, watch this. Three examples of how rebellion attracts satanic demonic influences in your life. First example, jot this down. You ever heard of a man named Saul, the first king of Israel? Saul, I love this guy. He's tender, he's humble, tall guy, good looking guy. When they go to anoint Saul, they can't find him. You know why? He is so nervous being around people. He's hiding in the baggage. He doesn't want to be on the stage. Humble, tender guy. And yet when he is elevated to a place of authority, he gets proud, he gets arrogant, and he stops submitting to God's authority. Now watch this. The prophet Samuel comes to Saul and says, what happened to you? You used to be a man under authority. You used to respect authority. Something's happened to you, Saul. And in 1 Samuel 15:23, here's what Samuel says to him. He says, Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now stop. Is not in the original Hebrew. Here's what it literally says. Hey, Saul, rebellion, witchcraft. And shortly thereafter, a demonic spirit comes on Saul. Why? Because rebellion attracts Satan. It's my first example. Let me give you a second example of this concept that rebellion attracts Satan, and that's 2 Thessalonians 2:7. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 is talking about a coming world leader. We call him the Antichrist. We see in Scripture he will be eventually animated by Satan himself. And we call him the Antichrist, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible does not call him the Antichrist. You know what it calls him? The man of lawlessness. The man of anomia. The man who says, I don't have to follow any, I don't have to do what you tell me to do. That's what it calls him. And in verse 7 it says, his spirit is already at work in this world right now. John says the same thing in 1 John. Here's my point. When you say, I don't have to do what mom tells me to do. I don't have to respect the president. I don't have to follow the rules. I'm a liberated man. I'm a liberated woman. When you say that, you have allied yourself with a coming world leader called the man of lawlessness. That's demonic. Let me give you a third example of how rebellion attracts Satan. I want you to look at this verse, Proverbs 17:11. I'm going to do a deep dive in this later on myself. It's an interesting verse. I've really skimmed over this in the past. Proverbs 17:11 says this, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Look at that. An evil person is rebellious. And as a result, a cruel messenger, that Hebrew word is malach, it means angel. A cruel angel that's gonna make his life miserable is gonna come against him. I don't understand all the repercussions of that, but that verse tells us right there. When you are living in rebellion, number one, that is evil, and some type of supernatural entity is gonna come against you. I'm gonna say it again. Rebellion attracts Satan. But respect attracts success, God-given success. And I believe this so strongly. I'm gonna give you very quickly six examples about how, and I could give you a lot more, about how submitting to leadership attracts God's blessings. It brings success. First example, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What is that promise? You honor your father and mother that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, the Bible speaks in generalities, okay? Like, for example, generally speaking, you eat right and exercise, you'll be healthy, okay? I know there are exceptions. Bible speaks in generalities. Generally speaking, kids, you do this, you'll live long. I know kids who respect mom and dad and they died early. I'm just giving you, the Bible's giving you a general principle. The general principle is this. Look at this, verse 1 and 2. Honor and respect your parents. The result, verse 3, God's gonna bless you. It's gonna go well with you. You'll have a long, full life on the earth. Respect brings in success. Let me give you a second example of this. Ephesians 6:5-8. Slaves or employees, obey your earthly masters, your employers, with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. All right, do you see what he's saying right there? Be a good employee. Clock in, work hard. When everybody else is bad-mouthing the boss, you keep your mouth shut, you obey him, you be a good employee, you honor your boss, you work hard. As a result, verse 8, remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good that we do, whether slaves or free. Do you see that? Honor your boss. He says, almost like you're working for Jesus himself. As a result, God's gonna bless you. Because respect attracts success. Let me give you another example. Number 3, Joseph. Y'all heard of Joseph before? I do this for me. Jot this down and read Genesis 39 this week. Genesis chapter, don't do it now, but read Genesis 39, maybe in your quiet time this week. Genesis 39 is an interesting chapter. This man Joseph is placed under the authority of two people that aren't Christians. They're not really good guys. One is Potiphar, a man named Potiphar. Joseph is placed under his authority. He respects Potiphar. Joseph is falsely accused and goes to prison. He's placed under the authority of a second man who is the prison warden. He does the same thing. He respects and honors the warden. That's Genesis 39. Genesis 39 is about Joseph being under the leadership of two people. He respects both those people. And look at how Genesis 39 closes out. I love this. Verse 23. And as a result of what? Of submitting to authority, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Why? Because rebellion attracts Satan. Respect attracts success. Let me give you another example. Jesus. Hey, second person of the Trinity, Colossians 1 says, not only did he create all things, it's Jesus who holds all things together. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, but at this point, he is a 12-year-old boy, and God has placed the second person in the Trinity under the leadership of a peasant construction worker and his teenage wife. Jesus has been placed under their authority. And it says in Luke 2:51, and he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth. And look at this. He was subject to them. He didn't say, I'm the Messiah. I don't do what you tell me to do. I'm the King of kings, the Lord of lords. No, no, no. He was subject to Mary and Joseph. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And as a result, Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and favor with man. Why? Because, listen to me, respect brings success. Let me give you a fifth example of that. David. God has told David, when Saul dies, you're king. Saul finds that out and he hunts David down. In a couple weeks, some of y'all are gonna be going with Darlene to Israel. We will start in the northern part of Israel. I'll show you where Saul hunted David down. We'll take a several hour drive down south, and even down south, Saul was still hunting David. We'll take you to that spot. In fact, Saul wanted to kill David so badly. Did you know this? Saul killed 85 preachers looking for David, innocent pastors looking for David. Finally, David gets to the point where he can kill Saul. And so David's men come and say, look, he's a sitting duck. You go kill him now. Problem solved. Do you know what David says? David says in 1 Samuel 26:9, no, don't destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Hey, the guy's trying to kill me. The guy's killed 85 innocent preachers looking for me, but he is still God's anointed. I ain't touching him. And as a result, God gives David success and elevates him to the most beloved king in Israel. Let me give you one more example of this concept. Okay, what concept? Here's my concept. Respect brings success. I've given you five examples of that. Let me give you one more. Look at this. Hebrews 13:17. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but he's writing to the church. And he says, church, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. In other words, it's not for your benefit if you rebel against your spiritual leaders. Implication, but it will be to your spiritual benefit if you do submit to your spiritual leaders. Why don't you listen to me? We are now to the point, look, it's never been this hard. I'm not whining, I'm not griping, whatever. It's never been this hard to lead the people of God in America. Because, you know, we're a democracy. We get to vote on whether something's right or wrong. And if we don't like what you say, we'll go down to the church and find another pastor who will do what we tell them to do. Or if we don't like what you say, look, at some point, a lot of you guys are running out of pastors to do what you tell them to do, so you're gonna go start your own home church. Okay, I get it, I understand. But I'm just telling you, today, if any pastor practices any strong leadership, particularly if he's a man, he's accused of spiritual abuse. It's getting tough to pastor. And that verse right there says, no, you respect your spiritual leadership. Most church splits start over that issue right there. I'm not talking about immoral stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about simple decisions pastors have to make that we're living in a democracy, and I happen to not like that decision. It's not immoral, it's not wrong, it's not sinful, it's preferential, so I go to another church. Look, I've heard this joke 100 times. I laugh every time I hear this joke. I don't know if you've heard this before. There's a guy that is shipwrecked. He was on a deserted island, like, you know, Tom Hanks from Castaway. He's on that island for 5 years. Rescue crew finally finds this guy after 5 years. So they come ashore, they rescue him, and they're just assessing, how did this guy survive for 5 years? And they saw he had made 3 shelters on that island. They said, what are these 3 shelters? So he said, well, that shelter is my house. I made a house that stood up against the hurricanes for 5 years. That's amazing. What's the second place? He said, well, that second place, it's my church. I'm a religious man. I thought God ought to have his own place where I could come and worship him. And so that second hut, that's my church. I said, that's beautiful. They said, what's that third hut? He said, well, that was the church I used to go to before I got angry and left. Well, this author of Hebrews is saying, even in the church context, it blesses you when you submit to the spiritual leadership of your pastor and your leadership team. Now, okay, it's at this point y'all need to start emailing me and tell me why this doesn't apply to you. Why you should, because of this pastor that abused this, I don't have to listen to that, or I didn't like Obama, or I didn't like Biden, I don't like Trump, I don't like Josh Stein, they do this, so none of this applies to me, I don't have to listen to any of this. Or, no, you don't understand, my kid is really smart. He doesn't have to listen to his teacher because his teacher isn't challenging him in school. And so my little cupcake doesn't have to listen to my teacher because the teacher's not challenging my intelligent kid. Let me ask you something. Was Jesus more intelligent than Mary and Joseph? Yes. Did he still submit to them? Yes. So at this point, you start emailing me and telling me why you shouldn't have to do any of this. There are two reasons why you don't submit to leaders. These are two biblical reasons to not submit. You ready? When the leader tells you to do something that contradicts scripture, you don't listen to that leader. Amen. Or when the leader tells you don't do something that the Bible tells you to do, you don't listen to the leader. Like when the leader says, don't gather together on Sunday morning, you say, well, the Bible says do not forsake the assembling. So we're gonna keep gathering on Sunday morning. But you understand what I'm saying? Those are two reasons. Number one, when the leader tells you to do something that the Bible prohibits, you don't listen to that leader. Or when the leader tells you don't do something that the Bible tells you to do, you don't listen to that leader. But I want you to listen to me. You can even say no to the leader, but still have respect for that leader. Let me give you two examples. You understand the concept. You can say no, I'm not doing that, and still do it with respect. Let me give you two examples. Daniel chapter 6. The leader has told Daniel, Daniel, do not pray. It is now against the law to pray. Daniel says, leader, king, you've told me to do something that the Bible prohibits. I go with the Bible. Amen. I go with God and I pray. So the leader has Daniel arrested, put him in a den of lions to be torn apart limb from limb. The leader goes to check on Daniel the next day. I want you to see how Daniel addresses the leader that tried to have him killed. I want you to see how Daniel addressed the king that he said no to. Here's what Daniel says. Daniel chapter 6, verse 21. Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. Do you see this? I am not going to obey you. You've told me to do something that God will not allow me to do. I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to obey you, but you're still the king, and I'm still going to honor you. Let me give you a second example of that concept. In Acts chapter 23, the Apostle Paul is on trial before the Israeli government. Now, this is a theocracy, so it's government and religion blended. But he is on trial before the government, okay? I want you to see how Paul handles this. Acts chapter 23, verse 1, gazing intently at the high council, Paul began, brothers, I've always lived before God with a clean conscience. Instantly, Ananias, he's the leader, the high priest, commanded those close to Paul to slap him on the mouth. That is blatantly illegal. The high priest knows it. It is against Jewish law to physically assault a man that's on trial. But he violates the law and says, slap him. Here's what Paul says, verse 3. And Paul said to him, God will slap you, you corrupt hypocrite. What kind of judge are you to break the law by ordering me to be struck like that? And they say to Paul, do you know who you're talking to? That's the high priest. That's the governmental leader. Now, in my flesh, I'd say, I don't care if it's the government. He broke the law. He knows better than to happen. I would have argued. Here's what Paul says. When he finds out that he has just back-talked the leader of God's people, he says this, verse 5, I'm sorry, brothers, I didn't realize he was the high priest. For the scriptures say, you must not speak evil of any of your rulers. I was wrong. Yeah, he shouldn't have slapped me, but I'm supposed to be living under authority. Isn't that great? You can disagree with your leaders and still respect the position that they have. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not good at a lot of things as your pastor. I'm not a counselor. I'm not good at finances. I'm not good at organization. Chad, why are we paying you? I don't know. I've been asking the same question for 25 years. I don't know. I'm trying to tell you. I don't know. One thing I am somewhat good at is this thing right here, and I think God has honored it. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. When I walk across the parking lot and go into that youth area, I say to myself, I'm now under Pastor Josser's authority. I'm gonna respect him when I walk in there. Now, I'm still the boss, I get it. No, Josser, you cannot t- take the youth bungee jumping from a helicopter. I'm the boss. You can't do that. But when I walk under there, I'm under his authority. When I walk in kids ministry and they say, you can't come back here, you don't have a badge, then I won't go back there because I'm under their authority. Right. Look, Pastor Mark oversees our finances here. If I have any question about spending money on something, I will go to him and say, Mark, I want to ask your advice on this thing because I respect your authority as the guy who oversees our finances. What do you think about this? Now, again, I know I'm still the boss. I get it. But I honor their authority. Pastor Vic is starting this gathering thing. Go to gathering.family. It's going to be an incredible plant that we do downtown. But the very first Sunday I go visit that church, when I walk into that room, I'm going to say, I'm under your authority right now. Watchman Nee has a quote that's attributed to him. I don't know if he shared this. Y'all know who Watchman Nee was? Great Chinese theologian. It is said that Watchman Nee told his followers, whenever you enter a room, first find out who is an authority in that room and immediately submit to them. I try to do that, and God honors that. So, beloved, I think this might be one of those areas where we need to work and we need to be more cognizant. In fact, I want you to do this. For the next several weeks, just try this for 2 weeks, okay? For the next 2 weeks, try this thing. When you're tempted to bash President Trump, stop and say, you know, I'm going to pray for President Trump. I'm not going to tear him. I'm going to pray for him. When you're tempted on the job to get in this little gripe fest with all your coworkers, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to honor my boss. I'm going to honor my pastor. Young people, for the next 2 weeks, try to do this. Honor your teacher at school. When everybody else is calling him or her names and rolling their eyes, you try to honor them. I want you to just try this and see if God doesn't bless you for that. And if he doesn't bless you, go back to being rebellious, angry, mean people if you want. Okay? But let's just try it and see what happens. Because God seems to honor this thing. You know, years ago, I went on a mission trip to, I won't tell you the country, but I went on a mission, it was a third world country. And there were piles of trash. It was nasty. Just out in the street, piles of trash. And it smelled, it was filthy. And then somebody there who lived in the country said, Chad, we got a rat problem here. And I don't know what to do with the rats. I was like, wow, gee, you got a rat problem with trash all over the place? We try to kill the rats, poison the rats, sick the cats on the rats. Nothing seems to work. And here's what I wanted to say. I got an idea. Remove all the trash. And maybe if you get rid of the trash, you'll get rid of the rats that the trash is attracting. And for some of you who are wrestling with anxiety, anger, frustration, bitterness, could it be that there's a pile of rebellion in your heart? And if you remove the rebellion, it will get rid of all the stuff you've been trying to deal with. You're trying to deal with the manifestations. Get rid of the rebellion. Get rid of the trash. And you might see some breakthroughs in your life. Do y'all receive that? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, my sermon's over. This is not a great job, Dad. Sermon's over, okay? So I'm going to shift gears here. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with the sermon, okay? Here's how I want to close out. This is going to sound weird. Again, nothing to do with the sermon. Whatever. This happened to me yesterday. So yesterday, I was taking trash to the dump. So I have my pickup truck. It's loaded with trash in the back. I was driving to the dump. My dog was, or Darla's dog was with me. And I just said, Lord, thank you. I don't know why I thought. I said, Lord, thank you for my health. I've not really had health issues. Thank you for my health. And then, Lord, while I'm at it, thank you for my marriage. And Lord, while I'm at it, thank you for my kids and extended family. And Lord, while I'm at it, I said, thank you for Cross Assembly. These people are incredible. I love these people. Thank you for this incredible church. And it's almost like a snowball effect. The more I started thanking God, I couldn't stop. You ever been in that situation before? And it's like the glory of God just settled in the cab of that truck. With trash in the back and a dog by my side, the glory of God just settled in that truck. It changed everything. In fact, I found myself tolerating the bicyclists who drive up and down my road every Saturday morning I wasn't quite as bitter at them as I usually am. Everything changed when I began to thank God. It's the weirdest thing. Can I ask you something? Has he been good to you? Have you looked back on your life and he's forgiven you of this? He brought you through that cancer scare. You lost your job and you thought it was over, but he gave you another job. Hey, have you looked back in the past and seen just how good God's been to you? And right now, you got air in your lungs. You're in a church that loves you, led by a pastor that loves you. God's blessed you right now. Hey, you got a future in store for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said to us, hey, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I'm going to come back for you. He's been working on that place for the last 2,000 years. Can you imagine what that place must be like? Here's my point. He's been good to us in the past. He's good to us now. He's got a future waiting for us. He is a good, good God. Can you stand with me right now? And let's not ask Jesus for anything. Let's lift our voice and say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord Jesus. You should have let us go, but you never let us go. You're holding on to us. You're so kind to us. You bless us. You're good to us. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about it, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he
out of the tomb, you crushed the head of the serpent, you ascended to the right hand of the Father, you are coming back one day, and today may be the day. We bless the name of the Lord forever and ever. And now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you, beloved. Let's go change our world for Jesus Christ. God bless you.